for Peter and the other 10 disciples. After Jesus was resurrected, he spent some time with those 11 disciples. Remember, Judas was gone. And he spent like 40 days with 500 different people. And so there was no question in their minds, anybody's mind, whether Jesus was alive or not. Then the last thing that happened, they saw him ascend into heaven. They saw Jesus go away. And they stood there like cows looking at a new gate, if you've ever seen that. Like, what now? And the angels, a couple angels said, what are you looking at? Go to Jerusalem, like he said, and just wait on the Holy Spirit. How about that? How about wait on the Holy Spirit? I could just leave it at that and we could go home, couldn't I? We could wait on the Holy Spirit and he'll show up right on time. I love Peter's response. It says in Acts chapter 1, verse 15, during this time when about 100 believers were together in one place, Peter stood up and addressed them. Brothers, he said, the scriptures had to be fulfilled concerning Jesus, who guided those who arrested, concerning Judas, who guided those who arrested Jesus. This was predicted a long time ago by the Holy Spirit, speaking through the King David. Judas was one of us and shared in the ministry with us. So now we must choose a replacement for Judas from among the men who were with us the entire time we were traveling with the Lord Jesus. From the time he was baptized by John until the day he was taken away, whoever is chosen will join us as a witness of Jesus' resurrection. So they nominated two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed. Underline that part. Title of today's message. Then they prayed. O Lord, you know every heart. Show us which of these men you have chosen as an apostle to replace Judas in this ministry, for he has departed us and gone where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and Matthias was selected to become an apostle with the other 11. Imagine this. Jesus has just ascended into heaven. He said, go to Jerusalem and wait on the Holy Spirit. By the way, Jesus had a replacement. Who was it? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit provided a place where Jesus had left. So the idea of replacement's not necessarily new in the kingdom of God. It goes way back when. And so he said, go and wait on him. And if I'm one of the disciples and I'm one of these 120 people, and like some of you all here who, your norm is to be a leader, you know. If I'm in that group, I'm starting to think, okay, what are we going to do now? What's first? What's the next thing? Somebody needs to decide what's the next thing. That was Peter. He was chosen to be that leader. And so what did he do? He said, you know what? Let's do what it says. It says in Psalm 24 or 94, we didn't read that part, it's a long scripture, but it said, talked about Judas and said he would betray Jesus and then he would die and they would find his replacement. What does Peter do? He doesn't know what to do yet, waiting on the Holy Spirit. He's not sure what's going to happen. He just does what he knows to do. That simple. The scripture said, do this, find a replacement. So he did. That's a good word for us today. As Holly said, what do we do in the meantime? Do what we know to do. You know, be a family. Strengthen and encourage each other. Get together. Worship the Lord in his holiness with spirit and truth. Pray. Maybe there's a couple other things we can do, which we'll talk about today. And then it says, they said, let's pick a couple of guys here. One of them's going to be the man. And they prayed and said, Lord, you show us. And then they cast lots, like drawing straws. Okay? That's what that was. By the way, this was the last instance in the Bible where anyone cast lots. Do you know why that is? Who knows why? Because the Holy Spirit showed up right after this at Pentecost. We don't cast lots. We don't have to guess. We don't have to play games to know the will of God. We've got the Holy Spirit to tell us. How about that, church team? You don't have to worry about how many resumes you got to wade through or you get or just where. You just need the Holy Spirit to tell you, because we're not looking for 10 or 5 or 3. We're looking for the one that the Holy Spirit says. Cool. That makes this pretty simple. So they prayed, and God showed them it would be this Matthias fella. He's the one that you're going to have. They prayed. They also fasted a lot back then. They prayed a lot in the Bible. Did you know praying and fasting was a big deal in the Bible? I mean, it really was. In the Old Testament, it's a big deal. In the New Testament, it's a big deal. Praying and fasting. They did both. Daniel prayed and fasted. Remember that? 21 days. His fast was juices and vegetables. And what happened? It saved his neck. He prayed and fasted. The lions wouldn't eat him, and they didn't. Jehoshaphat prayed and fasted. He had everybody in the nation pray and fast because they had a tremendous enemy. Three armies had gathered against them to annihilate them. Their enemies, the Moabites and some other Canaanites. And he said, what are we going to do? We're going to pray and fast because we can't overcome these people. But they left it in the hands of the Lord after they fasted. Then they walked out to the battlefield. You know what happened? The Lord had turned those three armies against each other, and they'd all killed each other. How about that for a miracle? Said it took 3 days for the Jews to just plunder all the good stuff that was left. That's a vast army. The king of Nineveh prayed. Remember when Jonah had his cruise with the whale, and then he showed up in Nineveh. He said, the Lord's going to get you. The Lord's going to take you out. You're evil. That's essentially his whole message. He didn't tell him, repent, return to the Lord. What'd they do? The king said, we're all going to pray and fast. This was an evil empire. These people were evil against God. What'd they do? They prayed and fasted. He said, everybody in this kingdom's going to fast. Even the animals are going to fast. Didn't let the animals eat and drink. What happened? God looked down from heaven and had such compassion on those people because their hearts were so sincere in praying and fasting. He said, I'm not going to kill them now. And he didn't. Paul prayed and fasted with Barnabas over who was going to be an elder or the church pastor in all of these churches that he started. That was how they selected a pastor. They prayed and fasted. John the Baptist prayed and fasted. His disciples prayed and fasted. Even the Pharisees, not very religious people, they prayed and fasted. And even Jesus himself, he prayed, he fasted. He taught about prayer and fasted. It used to be a really big deal. Maybe in places praying and fasting is still a big deal. I'm not sure why we don't pray more and fast more. I'm not sure why I don't. Well, yeah, I know why I don't fast more. I hate to give up food. I do. But maybe if I really believed in it, I would do it. Maybe if Pastor Dennis believed the results would be there, I would do it. You do what you believe in. If you believe in tithing, you tithe. If you believe in doing good things for people, you do. If you believe that this alcohol or this drug is going to make you feel better, you do it. If you believe the medicine will help, you do it. If you believe doctors, you take their advice. Does God still care about praying and fasting? And is it possible that's why we are still looking for a replacement? Maybe that's what the Lord is speaking to us about today. Like Holly said, the team would like for us, all of us, to take have a little burden about this. that we would not just rely on them, those eight people, to hear from God. Maybe they sense they need our support. And after all, I don't want to be the entitled generation. Do you? Waiting on someone else to do things for me? I just don't think that's right. We have way too much of that stuff. So maybe there's one more story here I can share, and then we'll decide what we're going to do. This comes from Ezra. Ezra, chapter 8. Ezra is the high priest. He's the religious leader. He became so burdened about the fact that the Jews were slaves and in captivity in Babylon. And he prays. This would be Persia. I think I'm mixed up. This would be Persia. He prays. He goes to the king Artaxerxes, Persia, and he convinces him to let some of us go back to Israel. We'd love to set up our culture again. We'd love to serve our God. Artaxerxes was given a heart of favor toward him by God, I'm sure. And so Artaxerxes says, let us go. And God is real. And God wants this. And he is the one true God. And if you'll let us go, it's hundreds of miles and it's very dangerous. You didn't head off across this place. There was no highway patrol. There was no county laws. There were robbers and thieves, and you had to go in force with protection. And Ezra told him, he said, we don't even need your help. We don't need horses and riders and soldiers. Our God will protect us. That's pretty bold. And then look and see what happens here in chapter 8. There by the Ahava Canal, I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask him for a safe journey for us and our children with all our possessions. I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to protect us from the enemies on the road, because we had told the king, the gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him, but his great anger is against all those who forsake him. So we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer. They made the trip, hundreds of miles, and they made it, and no one was lost, and no one got robbed, and no one got hurt. It's really a miraculous trip. There's three things I'd like to zero in on real quickly that might speak to new beginnings today. He called for a fast and a pray, and he said, I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves. Step number one to praying and fasting, humbling ourselves. First thing. Prayer is about, first of all, humbling ourselves. It's not about just pleading a case and just telling God what we need from him and what we're desperate for. That's what children do on the lap of Santa Claus. God is more than that. And he says prayer starts by saying, I'm humble, Lord. I want to be humble before the Lord. And this is the definition of being humble. I've said this, and I hope we really get this. Really, being humble is really wanting what God wants. If I'm humble, I want what God wants. I don't want what I want. I don't want my agenda. I want what your agenda is, God. Think about that. How strange is that for prayer? Because normally we're coming to him with petitions and we ask him for stuff and he says to do that. But step number one is saying, God, this is not just about me and my agenda and what I really need. In fact, I'm going to spend some time with you in prayer. I'm going to visit with you. So, Lord, prayer is really more about what you want, God. Prayer is not so much about moving God our way as moving us toward God. They would fast. They would deny themselves food or drink or something. They would make themselves uncomfortable. They would accept being uncomfortable. And the uncomfortable caused them to take my mind off of what's not going real comfortable right now, to really, what do you want, Lord? That discomfort was the purpose of sackcloth and ashes. Sackcloth. Imagine wearing pajamas made of burlap sacks. Not comfortable, right? Ashes. You take ashes from a fire and they'd throw them over their head and let it fall on their head. It was a sign of something. It was a symbol of my humbling that I'm in deepness here before the Lord. I'm not proud. I'm not shiny. I ain't all this and that, Lord. I'm coming to you in prayer. They did that. Number two, they reached a point. They said in their prayer, I want to trust God only. Lord, I'm humble before you. I want what you want, not me, and I trust you. How about that? In prayer, step one, Lord, not my shopping list. What do you want, Lord? And then I'm going to trust you. This is so cute right here in the scripture. This part right here is so amazing. Verse 22. Ezra said, I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to protect us from enemies on the road because we had told the king the gracious hand of our God on everyone who looks to him. But his great anger is against all who forsake him. He's saying, whoa, he's going to let us go. It'd be nice to have an escort. It'd be nice to have a bunch of king's soldiers and horses. But I'd be ashamed to ask him. I've already expressed myself and my faith. That would look pretty weak on my part, wouldn't it? You see what trusting the Lord is in prayer? It's really going to him and saying, Lord, I'm going to bring you these things, but I want you to know I'm trusting in you and you alone. I'm not going to fall back to a fallback plan. I don't have another ace in the hole. Lord, I'm going to ask you to provide my financial needs. Lord, I've got bills to pay. And I'm going to work. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And next thing you know, you're thinking about your finances more than you're thinking about God. I remember praying with a lady one time. She called and said, this years ago, doesn't go to church here. And she said, man, my family is this and that. And her husband was on meth. And I said, well, do you believe God can go before you here if you pray to him sincerely? Do you believe it? Yes. Do you believe God can do a miracle? Yes. Do you believe if two or more agree on earth, God will hear it and answer it? Yes. Let's pray. And boy, I prayed a prayer and I reached down and I gave it my best. And I prayed a good, long, healthy prayer and I even got myself excited and a big old amen. And said, that's good, wasn't it? She goes, that was great. I said, I know God's going to answer some of this. She goes, I sure hope so. What happened to, I'm ashamed to even back up from what I'm asking you. That's embarrassing, Lord. I'm going to stand in my faith. Let me move on. I could just spend too much time here. But there was a third thing I saw, and that was the results. Ezra prayed for safety and a great trip, and he had it. So we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer. The third and final thing in this is they asked God for this great trip, and the Lord did it. Praying and fasting can be done for several reasons. You can do it for safe passage like Ezra did. You can do it if you need direction. You need some wisdom, some vision. You can pray for that and fast for that. You can pray and fast for a decision that needs to be made. Jesus prayed all night long one night about who was going to be in this team of 12. It said he went out and he prayed all night long about who to select as his disciples. And when he got back the next day, he named them off. There was hundreds of people. And one of those was even the man that would betray him. Jesus was God. The Father spoke directly to him, and he spent all night praying. Probably started off by saying, Lord, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I am not Jesus the Nazarene who is so important. Only you, Lord. Only you. And I recognize and I trust you. Now you show me, Lord, who do I want? And the Lord pick the perfect 12. We can pray to the Lord for decisions. We can pray to him and fast for provisions, like a replacement pastor or something you need in your home. You can pray to him. There are various ways to fast. There's the total fast, no water, no drink, for some determined amount of days. And I'm hearing more and more of what the good health benefits are of that. There's the partial fast. You can from certain foods, like Daniel did. He just drank juices and he drank water and vegetables. You can skip a meal fast. That's a good one. You got something you really want to pray about, church? Maybe we want to pray about a pastor. Maybe we want to fast a little bit. You can skip a meal. You can skip an activity. Some folks I've heard, to good results, pray, Lord, I'm going to pray and fast about this, and I'm going to skip Facebook. I'm going to skip, what's IG? Instagram. How many of y'all are on Instagram? Can we just have a little survey? All of the kids and every other kid and some youngs. Okay, cool. Maybe if fasting and praying is designed to say, Lord, I want your agenda. I'm humbling myself. I don't need the instant gratification that comes from this or that. In fact, I'm willing to delay gratification, because I'm going to trust you with this. Maybe you want to just fast from gaming, from your iPhone altogether, or television, or something else. Yeah, you're probably thinking, are you going to ask us to pray and fast? I am. I'm going to invite you. I'm not going to ask. I'm going to invite you on behalf of this church and on behalf of the search team. How about we get behind them? You see, fasting is kind of like the people movers in the airport. You know what I'm saying? You get on them little tracks, and man, they go fast, like 3 or 4 times as fast as walking. They do the same thing as walking. They just get you there with more power and sooner. Fasting is like showing God I'm serious about getting there. It is that. It's showing God you're serious. And it's being serious. And it helped you do really one good thing. The purpose of fasting is focus. It helps us focus on where we're trying to go, on where we want to go. If you're going to fast from something, then it's going to leave a void. You got to do something else. If you're going to fast from the phone or gaming, what are you going to do now? You can't just sit there and look at 4 walls. You will go crazy. Your brain has to do something. And so find another activity. Maybe you want to read the Bible more. Maybe you want to, here's an idea, pray more. So here it is. I'm going to fast starting tomorrow. It's going to share with you what I'm going to do. It's going to kill me. I take medicines for various things. I can't do the total fast. I'm not comfortable with the total fast. First thing I am going to fast, I'm going to fast some serious things, though. That occur throughout my whole day. The first one, coffee. Ooh. Lord, I told Marcia, I love you more than coffee, but not before coffee. 2 cups and 3 as a bonus. That's the first thing I do, is I look forward to it, and it wakes me up. How about I wake up squaring the eyes of Jesus, hearing from him? I'm going to fast potato chips. That's my go-to. That's my real go-to, man. I use potato chips for a lot. Hey, I don't know that I have an eating disorder. I'm just an emotional eater. I eat when I'm emotional. I mean, if I get real anxious, hey, it's my go-to. It kind of soothes me. If I get depressed, I go and I'll eat some chips, and so I feel better. If I'm worried, I'll go eat a little bit. If I'm happy, I want to rejoice a little bit. If I want some fun in my life, or I'm with people and just the food, and it's just when I'm emotional, that's it. Lonely, overjoyed. What? Awake. I'm pretty much emotional all the time. All right, so I'll tell you another thing. I'm going to have to fast this week. I'm going to have a breakup. I'm going to have to break up with little Debbie. Chocolate. I mean, I love me some chocolate at night. Then one last thing, pop, a soda. I love me some Coke Zero. And Diet Coke, if I can't get Coke Zero and Diet Pepsi, last resort. Man, I love it. It just makes my food just expand and explode with flavor. I don't know why. I'm sure it's all right here. But if I'm going to, and I'm going to put down my phone more. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to read a book this week. And I hate to read. And some of you laughing. I know some of you going, yeah, I get it. I don't know. I just hate to read. It's not fast enough. How about that for instant gratification? I'm going to do it. There's a replacement coming. I am convinced God can find somebody to pastor this church. But I don't want somebody. I'm not asking him for somebody. I'm not asking him for the best out of 400 candidates. Listen, I saw a lot of those resumes, never said a word, but there were many good resumes. Lots of men qualified to do this job. But we didn't ask the Lord for the best good 10 out of 1,000. We've asked the Lord for one, the best one, the right one. And I think the Lord said, okay, I'm going to make it look like it. And at 8 o'clock on Saturday night, we're going to pull out the rug. Because you've asked me, New Beginnings, you've asked me for a great pastor. You've asked me for an exceptional leader, an exceptional teacher and preacher of the Word of God, an anointed man who hears from God and speaks for God, the words from God. Isn't that what you want? Don't you want a shepherd who will love you tenderly and carefully and look you in the eyes and really be somebody you can count on and you can trust? And if you're having your worst day, he would be the guy that you would like to walk through the door right after. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, God is saying that's a pretty great pastor. That's an exceptional good man. But I'm not going to match him up with a bunch of people who aren't ready to be an exceptional and great church. I want a man that's going to lead me for the next several years to greater things. How about you? Greater things in your life, in your family, with your children, with your finances, with your bosses, with your witness. Greater things. Lord, the Lord is saying, I can bring you the right man if you'll be the right church. How do we do that? Praying and fasting. Sometime down the road, we'll be able to look back and we'll be able to say, then they prayed. You want to pray? I'm not going to ask you to, I would suggest you don't just pray for this church and this replacement. Couple that, add to that something you are really serious about. Something you need. Your petition. Maybe it's just more. More of God. I want a pastor that'll cause the church to see more and want more of God. I want to see that in my life. Maybe there's just something unique for you and your family you want to add to it. What do you think, church? Is it time to fast and pray? Well, stand to your feet. As you're led, come and pray. Let's gather together around this one here. Let's come to the altar of church. We got stuff to pray about. Let's pray that God will move mighty. And we're not ashamed to call on him to do something great. You come. Let's pray.